The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Prayer. How many of us know the panic of being in a Bible study or fellowship or even at a family dinner and someone very casually looks to you and says, "Will you please lead us in prayer?" I mean, what do you say? You can't say, "No, I don't want to talk to God." I mean, you could say that if you wanted that sense of panic to be replaced with a sense of guilt and judgment. But you rally and you try and you mumble through the required Thanksgiving part, throw in a petition and say, "Amen," and breathe a sigh of relief. It's over. Phew. Survived another prayer. Now, I'm not judging you. I'm an ordained pastor of Word and Sacrament, and it still makes me nervous. It feels kind of good to know that the disciples knew that sense of inadequacy when it came to prayer, and we should really appreciate Jesus' response to their petition. Can you imagine if instead of just giving us this prayer, Jesus instead gave us a parable about a seed and a mountain and a runaway camel, leaving us with no working answer for how to pray? Gratefully, this is one of the very few instances in all of the Gospels in which Jesus is made a direct request and Jesus provides a direct response. Thank you. But why does prayer give us such panic? Why do we feel so inadequate to talk to God, to just say thank you? "I trust you. Here's something I need. Here's something I'm afraid of. Here's something I'm angry about. Here's something I'm sad about. Here's something I'm struggling with. I can't take care of it myself. Thank you. I trust you. Amen." Is prayer so complicated? No, not really. So what is it? Well, I'll tell you one thing of which I am certain about prayer. It's important. More than important, it's vital. Talking to God, connecting with God, is the act that keeps us in relationship. And is there anything more important than that? So many things in this world are so far beyond our control. No number of good deeds or giving or hymn singing or hospitality can overcome all of the forces of violence and injustice in this world. And we need to regularly connect with the power of all goodness and mercy and justice so that we do not drown in our own helplessness, trying to do it alone. And like water and light to grass, it's nourishing. It should feel good to connect with our Creator. But I think some of us, myself included, have reservations about prayer that are more rooted in discomfort and doubt and fear of disappointment, which prevent us from asking. Jesus plainly says, "Ask and you will receive," but we all ask for many things that we do not receive. We ask questions God does not plainly answer. Sometimes when praying, you feel a bit crazy, like we're talking to the air, not knowing what to expect or what you're doing wrong. But Jesus has taught us right here how to pray. We may pray this prayer exactly as it is anytime we like, or we may use it as a guide for how to compose a good prayer with our own words. Have any of you studied this prayer line by line, at least since confirmation? We may need to do a refresher course on this topic in the future. I'm not going to break out the large catechism on you today, but let me invite you to take a look at this timeless prayer that we pray every Sunday as written in Luke. So you'll notice a few familiar lines are missing. The longer version is in the Gospel of Matthew. This first line, "Father, hallowed be your name." This is the address. This is who we are talking to. And we address God in prayer the same as we would address anyone with whom we have a relationship. Do you think of God primarily as Father? Or you may think of God as mother or brother or sister or friend. You might say Almighty God or Creator or Great Spirit. Or you might just say, "Hi, God." The invitation by Jesus to address God as Father is an invitation into personal familiarity with God. And though many have historically used this title to uphold a patriarchal system in the church, Jesus could have just as easily said mother or parent, and the same familiarity would have been there. If you recall in the Gospel of John, it was this familiarity of Jesus when addressing God, referring to God as Abba, Father, which really is more translated as dad or daddy, it's that familiar, that was so offensive to the Pharisees. In his instruction, Jesus calls us to feel the same closeness with God as Jesus has with God. As we are of the same blood as our earthly parents, we are of the same spirit as the great giver of life. And that hallowed bit. God doesn't need us to pray that God's name be made holy. It is holy in and of itself. This bit is more for us than for God. To remember that we are talking to our holy Father, Mother, Friend, Spirit. And as it reads in the Small Catechism, God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we, as the children of God, lead holy lives according to it. This next line, "Your kingdom come." As with God's holiness, the kingdom has come without our asking. Yet repeating this petition, saying it aloud, meditating on it as an act of self-submission to the will of God, is saying, "I trust you. And I trust your will is being done around me constantly, no matter what hardships or evils or events beyond my control or in front of me." God's kingdom is here, and we pray for it to keep coming so that we may be consciously participants in it. "Give us each day our daily bread." Well, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Martin Luther spent a lot of energy on this line because he was afraid that we would take it too literally and confine daily bread to food. Our Small Catechism explains that daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, spouse, children, workers, good faith and good and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. And I would add that the daily bread includes, in addition to the needs of the body, the needs of the spirit and the soul, our mental health, our emotional strength and strength of mind and courage, our knowledge of spirituality in the world. Everything that we need to live good and healthy and abundant lives in the kingdom falls under the umbrella of daily bread. And when we pray, "Give us our daily bread," we are trusting that God will provide for these things, and that when we receive them with joy and thanksgiving. We must stay actively involved in our bodily and spiritual and emotional needs, and be ever aware in God's role in providing them for us. "And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us." This should be the most straightforward part of the prayer, and yet it is where most of the different English translations fork. Should we say, forgive us our sins, or forgive us our trespasses, or forgive us our debts? The short answer is yes. The limits of the English language and the simple truth of the very different culture that we live in the U.S. in 2020 from the ancient people of Palestine makes this a tricky translation. And this is largely due to our different grasp of the word debt. Generally, when we speak of debt, we're talking about debt in a financial sense. But in ancient Judaism, debt is merely a concept of imbalance. If you recall, most of the detailed laws in the Hebrew Bible, repentance or justice was always in the form of restoration. You steal a cow, you must repay two cows. If you break into someone's home, you must offer five goats as payment. If you spit in someone's face, you must sacrifice eight pigeons, and so on. I just made those up, by the way. They're not actually in there, but you follow. This type of justice system contrasts with our own crime and punishment model, which, let's face it, is not very effective. As Jesus has taken on the cost of our sin, we have no right to hold a debt or imbalance against a neighbor who has wronged us. For by the cross, Christ has already balanced the scales both to our neighbor and to ourselves, thus negating the need for a trial to prove our innocence and beg for justice, which leads us to that final line, and do not bring us to the time of trial. Court systems then, as they are now, generally favored the privileged, and the poor and the oppressed have to work twice as hard to have their case fairly heard. Jesus has already declared he has come to free the captive and put an end to oppression, and this has been accomplished by absolute forgiveness and balance for all. Which is partly why Jesus' scenario at the end of this instruction is a bit of a head-scratcher. A friend knocks on the door to ask for bread, and the friend says, "Hey, I'm in my PJs and I just brushed my teeth. I'm not getting you your bread tonight." And you may think you know where Jesus is going with this because he just spoke of the importance of forgiveness of debt and the perfect balance restored for all. So he must be saying that this friend should just go home and consider the matter settled. Except he doesn't say that. He says, keep knocking on that door until your friend gets their lazy behind out of bed and gets you that bread. Why would Jesus say this? Recall the purpose of prayer in our faithful lives, active participation in our relationship with God. Yes, our debt has been forgiven, but the day that you take that for granted, you lock Christ out of your life. If the friend had knocked on the other's door and the reply had been, "I don't have the bread to help you with, give me more time and I can fetch some for you," and I can safely say this because Jesus used a similar scenario in another parable, Jesus would have said, "Forgive your neighbor, move on." But in this case, we're assuming that the friend actually had bread in his home and was purposefully withholding it. And nope, that's not how this relationship works. Jesus does not withhold from us. We do not have the right to withhold from one another. Not of ourselves, not of our forgiveness or love or mercy. For all has been given to us. At the same time, we are human. We forget. Sometimes we are selfish, we are cynical or skeptical, or we distrust each other. We fail repeatedly to live into the same grace that has been freely given to us. And this above all else, is the reason we must constantly seek and tend to our relationship with God, that we may, by humility, participate in the active grace of God, that we may be empowered to live into God's will trustfully, that we may receive God's generous provisions for our body and spirit joyfully and with thanksgiving, that we may forgive as Christ forgives, that we may give as all has been given to us, one more step into the abundant life of God's kingdom. As you came in this morning, you may have noticed the piece of paper and pen on your seat. I would like you to get those out right now because we are going to write a prayer together right now. And I want you to take note of this very simple formula as given to us in the Lord's Prayer. Address, thanksgiving, petition, clothing. Keep it with you so that next time you are put on the spot, invited to pray, remember the simplicity of the Our Father. So let's do this. And feel free to just blurt it out. First part, the address. Who are we sending our prayer to?
Our Father.
Dude? How about dude God? We like that? These are awfully masculine, guys. Sorry? Hey, you. I don't know if I'm entirely comfortable with that. All right. How about hey, dude? You like that? Hey, dude. Dude God, all right. Thanksgiving, what are some things we're thankful for?
For our homes and family.
All right, thank you for our homes and family. Anything else?
Air we breathe, food we eat.
For the air we breathe. Food we eat.
Health.
Just health in general?
Good health.
For our good health. What would we like to ask God for today? We ask for peace. Anything else? You can ask God for anything.
Megamillions winning.
Persistence.
You can ask for patience.
For patience, okay. So we ask for peace, for patience, for love. How about security then?
Yeah.
Not necessarily Mega Millions, but we can do love.
Peace, patience, love.
Yes. Persistence.
For security, persistence in anything in particular?
I guess academics.
Yeah.
Persistence in academics. Learning. How about learning or academics?
Learning.
Persistence in learning.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Safe travel.
For safe travels. So you say, and for Thanksgiving. Okay, so we ask for peace, for patience, for love, for security, and persistence in learning, and for safe travels. Closing.
Amen.
Amen? Okay.
In your name we pray.
All right?
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray, okay. Pray amen. All right, hopefully we all have the same thing. Oh, let us pray together. Hey, dude, God, thank you for our homes and family, for the air we breathe and food we eat, and for good health. We ask for peace, for patience, for love, for security and persistence in learning, and for safe travels. In your name we pray, amen. Amen.